It's a wonderful book, and fans, I have it right in front of me. It's called Handsome Ransom Jackson, and he was the accidental big leaguer, as he likes to call it. It's his autobiography. It's done with Galen White, and we had Galen White on last year, Pat. Remember he wrote the book on Steve Bilko?
Sure.
And the Pacific Coast League. We had a great interview with him. But Randy Jackson is sort of a legend of Cubs baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Brooklyn Dodger. He replaced Jackie Robinson at third base. He played in the Cotton Bowl for 2 years. He led the Southwest Conference in hitting, all in the 40s. And we are lucky enough to have him with us today and talk about his book. Randy Jackson, welcome to the show.
Hey, Randy.
Thank you. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing great today. And, you know, I must tell you, you know, for me, I'm a kid that grew up in Brooklyn.
That's what I understand.
So, and when you were traded over to the Dodgers in 1956, I was the kid in Brooklyn saying, wow, Randy Jackson's coming to the Dodgers from the Cubs for Walt Morin and Don Hoke. And,
you remember the Happy Felton show? You remember Happy Felton?
Of course I do. The Happy Felton show, I've tried to recreate that, but it hasn't gone over here. But Happy Felton was the pregame host, Pat, and what he would do is bring three kids from Little League down.
Okay.
And they bring Randy Jackson down. He'd throw him a few ground balls, fly balls off that right field wall. Right, Randy?
Yeah, and then I'd pick one to win some kind of prize.
Right, and they'd come back the next day, and they'd be allowed to go down to the dugout and pick out their favorite Dodger, who always was Pee Wee Reese or Jackie.
That seemed like it.
But you have a great book here, and as I tell people, you know, we have so many authors on who talk about the careers and lives, but you actually, it's an autobiography, and tell us a little bit about yourself in the 40s, and Pat does the football show here on KMBR, and you were at TCU and Texas and two times in the Cotton Bowl and Bobby Lane. These are amazing stories, Randy. Go ahead.
Well, in high school, grew up during the Depression, and so we didn't get to play any sports. They didn't have any money to do anything. So we just played in the fields and in the school grounds and so forth. And when I graduated, I went off to Arkansas for 4 or 5 months, and then the Navy. I went to the Navy officers training program. They sent me to TCU, and we were if we flunked a course in the Navy, we were sent out to sea where they were fighting. And so we went to class all day long. And so I was watching them play football one day practice. The coach was a guy named Dutch Meyer, and he said, "Do you play high school football, son?" I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, we want you to come out. We don't have very many people." And I said, Coach Meyer, and he says, "Come on out." I was 6'1", 165 pounds, you know, really muscly. He said, "I want you to go over and work out with the linemen." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went over there, and these guys were beating their heads back and forth. After the first day, I said, "Coach, I'm not a lineman. I'm a backfield guy." So he put me in the backfield, and we played the whole season. We had about 15 or 16 guys playing. We were called the 15 Fighting Frogs, and we won the Southwest Conference.
Well,
and then I was the Navy switched from TCU to the University of Texas. So I went down there. I was still in the midshipman school. And Dana X Bible, coach down there, comes out and says, "Why don't you come out for? I saw you play at TCU. Why don't you come out for Texas?" I said, "Coach, I mean, I've got these classes. I study. We go all day long. If I flunk one, I go out to sea." He said, "I want you. We got a new guy coming in for quarterback. His name is Bobby Lane." I said, "Well, okay." So we end up winning the Southwest Conference again with Bobby Lane, and that's the only time anybody's ever played in two consecutive Cotton Bowl games with two different teams. And that's the way it worked.
Go ahead, Ben.
And you won the 46 Cotton Bowl. How did the 45 work out for you?
We played Oklahoma A&M, and they had three All-Americans, and we had 15 guys playing. What do you think? 48 to nothing.
Oh.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Hey, Randy, let me ask you. Now, Marty was prepping me for this show and this segment with you and talking about your book. And
yeah.
Tell us what it was like being in America, what America was like when our borders were breached by the Japanese and Pearl Harbor, and just how a good old American boy from Arkansas, such as yourself, and how America reacted to something like that.
Well, it came my turn in 1943 when I became 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, of course, everybody was gone. It was patriotic as it can be. And I wanted to go in the Navy Air Force. And my dad was in the Navy Air Force, and he said, you don't want to get in that because I'm down at Corpus Christi, Texas, and we've got pilots piling to each other just about every day. He said, you want to go in the V-12 program, which is the officer's training program, so you can be a gentleman. So I said, okay, that's what I did. And that's when I got. They sent me to college for 2.5 years in the Navy, and that was my. They tried to call me back into the Army later on when I was in playing baseball, and that's a story in itself. I happened to have a guy who could help me out by the name of Philip K. Wrigley.
Yeah, the owner of the Cubs, absolutely.
Yeah, I got a letter from the Navy. From the draft board in Des Moines, Iowa, which was my first minor leaguer, and they said, we want you, you're going to go back in the Army for the Korean War. And I wrote them back, and I said, I'm a lieutenant in the United States Naval Reserve. You cannot. And they said, yes, we can. And so I went up to see Mr. Wrigley in his office, which was about 10,000 square feet. Oof. And I crawled up there to his desk, and I told him, and he said, I'll send you up to Great Lakes with my son-in-law. We went up there to see the admiral. The admiral, we saw his adjutant, and the adjutant looked at it and said, they can't touch you. You're in the Navy Reserve. He says, I'll write a letter to the Navy, to the draft board in Des Moines, Iowa. And he told his adjutant, take a letter. And he wrote a letter and said, you can't have Jackson. He said, he's in the Navy Reserve. And he turned around to me and he says, well, if they call you back in, we'll call you back into the Navy at Great Lakes, and we'll let you play for Great Lakes. And I said, whoop-de-doo.
Great. Boy, I love the book. It's great having Randy Jackson on with it. The book is, I tell you, it's, Pat, it's terrific. I want you to get a copy of it.
Yeah.
Handsome Ransom Jackson. Just as Randy is endearing himself to our crowd here at the Public House and to the audience, that's exactly how the book reads. But, Randy, you become a baseball player. You lead the Southwest Conference in hitting 3 years in a row for a couple of different schools. You play for Bibb Falk. Who was the one who replaced Joe Jackson when he was removed from baseball. But you become a Chicago Cub and you get up to the Cubs. What was that like in those days?
Well, see, I played 3 years of college, and baseball, I could not tell you in my third year of baseball, I couldn't name you a Major League ball player. I may be Babe Ruth, but that's about it. So I had no ambitions, and all of a sudden I realized I'm going out in the world. I'm graduating. I had all these courses in the Navy. And so a guy tapped me on the shoulder one day, first scout I ever met in my life. And he said, you want to play professional baseball? And I said, I don't have anything else to do. So he said, we'll fly you up to Chicago. So I flew up to Chicago, tried out, and hit some home runs up in the seats and beat us some ground balls. And they called me in there, and he said, we like what we see. We're going to give you a major league contract and put you on the 40-man roster, and we're going to give you a major league contract for 2 years. And I said, whoops-de-doo, how much is it? He says, it's $6,000 a year.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, that's better than it's $6,000 more than I'm doing now. I think now it's $650,000
minimum. Something like that.
So I signed up. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have anything else to do. So I played 3 years in the minors, and then went up for 10 years in the majors. So it wasn't anything I planned; it just happened. I didn't have anything else to do, but I ended up doing all these things that I put in this book, and I didn't realize I did some of them until 50 years later.
Well, you call yourself the accidental big leaguer. Now I understand why that is a subtitle on the book. Randy Jackson is with us. Now, the tryout, you had a hit against Russ Meyer, who was the Mad Monk, and he was coming
right,
back
from
an arm injury. That was no picnic as well. But you get up to the Cubs. You're a third baseman. Ernie Banks is there, Gene Baker. And the Bingo Bango to Bilko was the double play combination. Boy, I'll tell you, and I remember it so well with Frankie Baumholtz and Hank Sauer and Ralph Kiner there at that time. And
you got a good memory.
Yeah, I do. Bob Rush, that's all I remember is this stuff.
Randy, let me tell you something about my friend Marty Lurie. If it's happened on a baseball field, Marty's documented it, okay?
Oh, he has. He's got a computer memory, huh?
He sure does.
All right, so you start off in your first game, 2-for-5 against the Phillies, and it goes from there, and you're an all-star as well. Your life with the Cubs and some of the players that you played with, share that with us.
Well, of course, Ralph Kiner was there for a while. You talking about Frankie Baumholz. We had Bob Rush. We had a guy named Sad Sam Jones who pitched a no-hitter, which is in my book. He walked the first three guys in the ninth inning and then struck out the next three.
And I'll tell you, Clemente?
And one of them was a guy named Clemente.
Clemente, Grote, and Frank Thomas. How about that?
It wasn't too bad.
Not bad.
But, you know, but we were kind of the Cubs at that time weren't very good, and they were shoveling guys in and out. Got a lot of guys from the Dodgers back and forth. And so I played in two All-Star games and got a call one December, and the sports writer said, "You've been traded." And I said, What? I've been traded? I'm a regular Cub. And he said, "No, you've been traded. Guess who? To who?" And I said, "Don't give me that. Tell me." He said, "No, I'll guess." So I said, "Pittsburgh, Cincinnati." He said, "No, you've been traded to the Dodgers." And I said, "You are out of your gourd." You know, you always want to play an All-Star game or a World Series. You know, that's kind of the culmination of playing in the major leagues. And so I got traded from and they just won the World Series the previous year. So how can you beat that? So it just, you know, I hate to get traded from Chicago because I love playing there because it was all-day games at the time. But to get traded to the Dodgers was just, gosh, it was a Christmas present early.
Handsome Ransom Jackson, Randy Jackson, our guest here. And before you went to the Dodgers, you did play in a couple of All-Star games, and I was just looking them up. You played the first one in Cleveland, 1954 and 55, County Stadium. You got a hit, Randy. Do you remember who that was off of?
Yes. It was a guy who was a fairly good pitcher. His first name was Whitey, and his second name was Ford.
Okay.
So I faced him three times in my life. First time he struck me out in a regular game during the World Series, and the second time during an All-Star game I got a single, and the third time in an old-timers game he walked me. So there you are.
Look at that.
1-2 against Whitey Ford.
Not bad. Randy Jackson with us. The book is Handsome Ransom Jackson. Absolutely a joy to read. Randy, can you stick with us a minute? I want to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk to coming to the Dodgers and replacing Jackie Robinson, or at least working with Jackie Robinson, what that was like. So is that okay? Can you hang with us?
I'll be right here.
All right, very good. We'll take a break.
You.
Yeah, I love this.
This is awesome.
Yeah, we'll take a break from the public house, and we'll be back with Randy Jackson, who was traded to the Dodgers to become the third baseman because Jackie Robinson's legs were pretty much gone. Mm-hmm. And he'll talk about replacing a legend like that. It's not simple to do. All right, more coming up right here from the public house. KMBR 680, the sports leader.
Marty Lurie and Pecan now continue with their baseball banter live from the public house on KNBR 680.
Beautiful day here in San Francisco. Giants, Dodgers, kind of nice seeing everybody. Enjoying this Randy Jackson interview? Absolutely. Very much so. Very much so. Randy Jackson with us. The name of the book is Handsome Ransom Jackson. And he joins us here. It's that autobiography. Just terrific. Randy, Jackie Robinson, when they brought you to the Dodgers for Don Hoke and Walt Morin, here comes Randy Jackson. He is going to be the third baseman for the Dodgers. What was that like, and what was it like being around Jackie Robinson?
Well, first let me ask if you ever heard of my first roommate named Roger Craig.
Yes, I did. In fact, Rod, believe it or not, yep. Roger Craig is going to be here in about a half an hour.
Yep.
Is he really?
Yep. He's going to be on the show with us, and we may actually call you back when he's here.
Yeah.
Tell my old roommate hello. Of course, he wrote the foreword on my book.
Yes, he did. And I remember the day that he was brought up with. Remember who he came up with to pitch a doubleheader?
Was it Was it Koufax?
Don Bessent.
Bassett, yeah. Okay.
Roger Craig and Don. I'll never forget the day when he came up. They pitched a doubleheader against Cincinnati, and Rudy Minarson was one of the pitchers.
Unbelievable.
I had another roommate with the Dodgers by the name of Drysdale, who was a pretty good pitcher.
Pretty good. I tell you, when you read this book, it's amazing how many people that you came in contact with. But tell us about Jackie. And Jackie actually was very, very kind to you and helped you out as well.
Well, of course, I came up with the majors in 1950, and the bad years for Jackie had already passed. I mean, the real bad, not the bad, because he still had some. But I had played against him for 5.5 years, so I didn't know him personally. But, you know, when we play 15, 18 games against somebody, he at least speak to him. And, the course of the idea was I was going to replace Jackie because this was his last year. So we went through spring training, and I would play half the games, and Jackie would play half the games. And we were just fine. You know, we'd talk about the hitters and what was going on. And then the day before the first game, the manager, Walter Alston, called me, and he says, "You both had good spring trainings, but I'm going to start Jackie because he's been here so long." I said, "I don't blame you. I understand that. Very, very much, very easy to understand." So Jackie started the season. He played about a month and a half and just wasn't doing too well. So Walt Alston comes to me one day and he says, "You're it." I said, "Okay." So I went in there and I was batting cleanup between Duke Steiner and Gil Hodges. And I was just it on a stick. You know, how can you be any better than that? And so I did real good. We were winning a lot of games, and then we came into the All-Star break, and I turned off a knob in the shower where I was staying, and the porcelain knob broke off in my hand and cut my thumb all the way down to the bone. Ooh. So I was out for, you know, a month and a half, and Jackie came back in, did great. And we went on to win the pennant. So, but Jackie and I got along fine. Of course, all the sports writers would ask me every couple of days, "How y'all getting along?" I said, "We get along fine. We you know, it's mano, you know. He's a good guy, and I hope he thinks I'm a good guy."
He took you to the airport when you needed it, didn't he?
No, he took Roger Craig, I think, wasn't it?
That's the story. Okay, Roger Craig. Yeah, Jackie came through for Roger Craig when Roger needed to get to the airport, and Jackie drove him out of his way to take. Very good, Randy. Good.
He did.
You saved me on that one. Very good. Very
That's
good.
All right. No charge.
Very good. Pat, go ahead.
Well, let me just ask you, Randy, what was the transition like from Brooklyn to Los Angeles and playing in the Coliseum? What was that all about?
Well, of course, we didn't know anything about it. All of a sudden, I read in the paper, October or whatever, that they're going to Los Angeles, and, you know, being the good baseball player that I was, and I just said, "Okay, so we're going to L.A. And so I just went out there, and to play in a football stadium was weird. You know, they had the high screen in left field, and you had to hit one up about 1,000 feet to get it over the screen. But the fun thing was to sit on the steps and look backwards over the top of the bleacher and see who was there. "Hey, there's so-and-so. There's James K. Oh, there, look over there. There's Loretta." You know, just we had more fun than somebody said, "What's the score?" I said, "Dead guff, I know." You know, it was so much fun watching all the famous people come to the game.
Randy, what was it like for Giants-Dodgers? Of course, we're sitting here at 24 Willie Mays Plaza. You're a Dodger. You had Magley on the team, who was one of the hated Giants of all time.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, what was Giants-Dodgers like for you?
Well, I guess, you know, playing against both teams with the Cubs, you know, I didn't run into all that. We just wanted to play the game, get it over with. If we went into Dodger Stadium, we were one run behind to begin with. Mm-hmm. That's how much we felt the Dodgers played much better than us. But as far as the relationship, the Dodger-Giants game was just, you know, to me, I had not had that feeling before. But I guess I absorbed it a little bit because I was supposed to be mad. But we just go out there and play the game, get it over with, and I don't remember any throwing throwing at each other or calling each other names. We just went ahead and played the games, but the sports writers loved it.
What about a young Willie Mays? In 54, he was an MVP, and, you know, we see Willie today, and he still looks great. He's 85 years old, and we talk about the old days a lot. But what do you remember about Willie Mays?
Well, the first 1951 was his first year and my first year, complete year. And we had basically the same record, but I had played, I think, 15 games before the year before, and so I wasn't eligible for the Rookie of the Year. So I believe he would have gotten it anyway because he was in New York and I was in Chicago. But basically that year we had about the same record. But watching him play the outfield was just – it was just beautiful. He just glided along. He almost caught a ball I hit in the polo grounds about 460 feet. He almost caught it barehand. And I got a triple out of it. But if he caught it barehand, I'd probably throw it out with a bat to, out there at center field and hit him with it.
Randy Jackson with us. Yeah. Randy, one last thought for you from me, and I know Pat has some question for you.
Yeah.
You were almost in the Don Larsen perfect game in the 56 World Series. There was either going to be you or Dale Mitchell to pinch hit to end it.
We could not believe what was going on. You know, Larsen was a, you know, not a great pitcher. He was, you know, he won 6-8 games here and there. But we couldn't believe it. We were sitting there in the seventh inning and nobody got a hit. As good of hitters as we had with the Dodgers. And we were getting down to the bottom and there was Walter Alston couldn't decide whether to put me or Mitchell in, but then he decided that Mitchell, because he was left-handed, he would hit. So he, I think he popped out or something. But we just could not believe that was a perfect game. And of course, I guess I was lucky to see it because you probably never see one again.
The World Series, amazing.
Well, handsome Ransom Jackson, the accidental big leaguer. I got to tell you, Randy, I hope you don't take this as an insult. From one Southern man to another, they should have done the story of Forrest Gump. About you, my friend.
Oh, you're... I'm going to sit down and try to figure that one out.
Well
every time Forrest Gump turned around, great things happened to him, and that's what happened with you.
Well, it took me a long time to turn around then. I did all these things, and I didn't realize them until 50 years later.
Well, it's a pleasure.
It's a treat, and your military service, we want to thank you for that, and... for playing football in the Southwestern Conference. I'm an old college football head, so that warms my heart. And to hear about your baseball career is fantastic. And so it's been a real treat talking to you today, Randy.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all calling.
Yeah, I love it.
And the Bobby, again.
Yeah, the Bobby Lane quote, who was up all night drinking. He was a great quarterback, the all-pro quarterback. And Randy says, Bobby Lane used to say, I sleep quickly. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Randy, thank you so much. All right, Randy's gone. All right, more coming up.
That's
KNBR
cool.
680, the sports leader.